From Tribune Tower, WGN Radio presents The Conversation.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
A dialogue.
What are you prepared to do?
An astute debate.
Have you seen me come along?
And a peek behind the curtain of politics.
And Dan, what are you prepared to do?
I think Chicago is not only the center of the country, I think it's the center of the world.
Don't tread on them.
Where did this statement come from?
This is the Sunday Spin. Your host is the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and welcome to this very special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin for December 24th, 2017. Merry Christmas, everybody. This is our weekly look inside the world of politics and policy, from City Hall to the State House, off to Washington, D.C., and even out to the North Pole. So go grab that Sunday paper, get that hot cup of coffee, and we'll do our best to get this holiday Sunday off on a great start. Well, I'm very, very Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Dave. Merry Christmas, Sam.
Merry Christmas, Rick.
You
Merry
too.
Christmas, Ben. Merry Christmas, Cassara. Merry Christmas, Tree Time.
Ferguson, wherever you are. Or Bob, yes.
Yes. No, Merry Christmas. I hope everybody's having a great holiday season. Today is my gift wrapping day. I don't know what you guys still have shopping to do, probably.
No, I'm done.
I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, I'm all set.
I'm amazed.
So am I. I'm amazed that I did get it all done. But yes, indeed. Yesterday afternoon, put the final touches on the wrapping.
And everything's wrapped, too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you come over to my place? Oh, man.
Well, I'll be here for a while yet.
But, well, okay. Well, that's all right.
I can come by and before I head out to Dad's. Although driving today, we should point out, Rick, that
yes,
driving could be a problem later on because the snow is moving in, and portions of northwest Indiana could be particularly affected by this, the lake effect type of snow, that type of thing. 3 to 5 expected in some areas, and then it's going to get cold.
Yeah, and we will have all the weather updates right here on WGN because obviously, you know, there'll be a lot of people out on the roads today, and I noticed folks heading downstate, that could get real messy.
Well, we were just looking an hour ago, you and I, at the radar situation through central Illinois here.
Right.
That's the heaviest band at this point.
Yeah, and you know, there's this great curve on I-55 just around Bloomington that is perhaps the worst winter weather highway in the state
is.
Of Illinois.
I know where that is.
Man. Yes. And so, and they look like, Bloomington looks like it's kind of like right in the middle of that snow belt that's
yeah.
coming. Peoria, Champaign, Springfield, Bloomington. So, yeah, if you're heading downstate or listening downstate, please take it very easy. And we'll see what we get here. I'm, you know, downtown, I'm not sure. I know what they're saying about, you know, maybe 1 to 3 inches, something like that. But it's the cold that I'm not ready for yet.
Yeah, exactly. Low tonight, around 17. And you know what? Driving in this morning, there was ice in some spots.
Really?
Oh, yeah. On the Michigan Avenue. In fact, I did a little slipping and sliding at an intersection. There was an ice patch that I just happened to be stopped on at a stoplight and got the old warning, you know,
right.
Watch your traction there. So, but given the fact that it was 21 degrees when I was on my way in this morning,
right.
It makes sense. 17 for a low tonight, a high of only 22 for tomorrow.
Well, maybe it's time to get the newsroom Zamboni out. It has been out all season.
I was, as a matter of fact, I was taking lessons Friday afternoon. I was up at the Wrigley Field Chris Kindle Market, the satellite location.
Yeah, how is that?
It's very nice. And, you know, it's so scenic there with the park around Wrigley, and you've got the ice skating rink there. And it's was the very very easy to get around.
It wasn't
crowded. But the Zamboni driver was getting everything ready for the afternoon skaters that were coming in.
And so he gave you a lift around the rink?
Give me a, show me how you do this. And there were people alongside the rink there as he would come by. They were cheering and going, yay, hey, Merry Christmas. And I'm thinking, you know, this guy would love to wave at you, but he's got a job to do, especially around that. You know, he's got to get right up to the edge there.
Right, right.
So he has to concentrate on
it. You don't want to damage the Zamboni.
But it was very pretty up there.
Well, I was curious about what the attendance is like up there, because I mean the one downtown here has just been because the weather's been so decent.
Weather's been very nice. Yeah.
But I was there like the first day, and that's good enough for me.
There were plenty of people. It was Friday afternoon, I would imagine Friday evening, you know, with skaters moving in. Because the skating didn't start until 3 in the afternoon. So, you know, the crowd would pick up. I was there mid-afternoon. So there were people out and around shopping and buying, I might add. The people buying at the various booths. It was a steady crowd.
Oh, that's and today is obviously a good day to shop if you're a Bears fan, because you don't really want to watch that football game.
That'll be bad.
So
think so, Sam? You think this would be Cleveland's first win this year?
I don't know. That would be it for John Fox, you would think. The over-under, I always look at over-unders to see how good a game will be and how many total points will be scored. The over-under in the Bears and Browns game, drum roll, please. 37 points.
37
points?
That's it, 37. Wow. Okay, I bet they lose. I'm saying it right now.
I'm not going to take that bet, because I think they could very well lose.
And here again, they're favored by 6.5 points.
They have never won John Fox when they're favored.
Correct. Right there. So let history be our guide here. But I disagree if they lose.
Does that
I don't think.
I'm sorry, Rick. Does that account for since he's been head coach?
Yeah, they've only been favored 7 times, which is another sad note. But when they are favored, they lose.
Oh, boy.
But the Browns are 0-14, so something has to give.
Something's going to happen.
Okay, so who's more motivated? I would think the Browns are.
I think the Bears are.
Really
trying to get that number one pick.
Well, I think they're assured of it, aren't they?
Not necessarily. If they win today, they'll have a chance to tie. Because you look at the standings right now, the bottom of the pack, you've got the Browns 0-14, the Giants are 2-12. So if the Browns win out, which they won't, they could tie the Giants.
Yeah. If the Bears lose today, though, I don't think they get rid of John Fox today.
No, probably not. Rick, this game could be 7-6.
I know.
Or 10-9.
Well, actually, I bet it's got to have like a crooked number in it, because you got to figure somebody's going to...
I see what you did there in Chicago, crooked. I get it.
Somebody's going to screw up an extra point.
2-0.
Yeah, it could be 2-0. Safety. Exactly.
That's it. 2-0.
Right. And the safety will be a punt in the end zone that is hiked over the punter's head and goes out of the end zone for safety.
I'm down for that.
You know, and that's it, 2-0. So it's a perfect gift wrapping afternoon in Chicago, because you can just have the foibles of the Bears in the background kind of going on.
If they lose to the Browns, I think Hampton might explode.
Boy, I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the post-game show, and it was unbelievable.
Well,
in terms of explosions.
So my buddy Jeff Hughes, he writes, he's in from New York. He lives in New York, but he writes a blog, the Bears blog, and is really tuned in on the Bears. His excellent sources, very good. He comes in for maybe one or two games a year. He's in for one game this year. Guess what game it is? It's now.
Today.
Today, yes. And I think he told me yesterday, 40-yard line tickets, he paid right at the beginning of the season, $174 for them. They were on sale yesterday for $74. And I said, well, wait till about an hour before game time. And if it's $35, I'd be surprised. I mean, he says he's going to stay for the whole game. I said, I hope you and your closest 300 friends enjoy it. Because... I don't know.
I'm wondering how many no-shows there are going to be, because last year, December 24th against the Redskins, there were 18,000 that didn't show up.
Well, see, Sam, you and Andy was in last week, and we talked about the true over and under in this is the attendance. And I'm wondering about maybe 20,000.
I set the line yesterday 17.5 over under.
Yeah. I mean,
you for top attendance?
No, for no shows.
Oh, for no shows.
For no shows, so 17,500. Because capacity is 62,500.
Right, right.
And that just means 20 people, because the tickets are all bought,
right.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's just the people that go through the turnstiles get their tickets scanned. What is that total number? And right. I think there's going to be around 17,500 no shows.
No shows.
Because these two teams are awful. It's cold. People
it's
are
Christmas
shopping.
Eve.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I had told Jeff, I thought the real trivia question was, and since game four in the preseason is the Bears versus Browns, which is the higher attendance? That fourth lousy preseason game where no starters play, or today's game that's the real game that counts in the standings? And I would bet more people went to that preseason game. August, it's a cheap ticket. You can go take the kids that you can tell them you've gone seeing a football game. They don't care if it's who's playing or not. You know, you get the experience without having to pay the entire freight of the deal. But Jeff looked up the attendance and they printed the paid attendance, not the actual attendance. So can't use that as a marker.
Right.
So, well, we'll see. Blackhawks coming up, two horrible games, being shut out in Dallas and then losing
to
the Devils 4-1. Although, as Sammy pointed out, Kaner got his 300th career goal.
The rest of them were wrapping gifts on the ice.
Well,
gifts to the Devils, just turnovers.
Yeah, after that 5-game winning streak where, you know, they had everything going, the speed was back, puck control, all the important things, Dallas was just a total washout, and the Devils game, I mean, they couldn't get out of their own zone. Crawford gets pulled with three goals in the first period. It was not fun.
Last five seasons, before Christmas or the All-Star break or the Olympic break, the Hawks are 2-7. This happens. They just check out.
Yeah, well, although now I was reading, I think this is a good idea. Instead of doing the Winter Classic on New Year's Day, they should do it on Christmas. And I know the collective bargaining agreement, they don't play on Christmas, the NHL. But they ought to have like a two-team exemption and do it because there is no real major competition in a big way, NBA.
Right, NBA owns Christmas.
Right, but on New Year's Day, with all the bowl games and everything that's going on, that Winter Classic gets buried. I just think it's something they ought to consider. With, of course, the Winter Classic for next year, 2019, being the Blackhawks and the Bruins out at Notre Dame.
And this year it's Buffalo and the Rangers. That game is at Citi Field.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buffalo Rangers. Woo!
Yeah, there's something to watch.
There you go.
Woof. Well, there's your TV sports digest right there. Dave's here to keep us up on all the news.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Bear down. Sam has the latest sports. What's the score out at Soldier Field right
0-0
now?
0-0 right now. We don't know if that will change.
That could be the final.
One of your texters says
yes,
that will be the final.
I noticed that, too. Yes, that could be the final score. Producer Caceres here to field your phone calls at 312-981-7200. It's also our text number. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thesundayspin, on Twitter @SundaySpin. Engineer Bob's here checking his list to see who's naughty and nice among the WGN staff. I think I know where I fall on that list. As always, you can find our shows on WGNradio.com. You can also get our podcast at iTunes by searching for Rick Pearson. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the wonderful Allstate studio decorated by TreeTime.com and Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Time for our weekly spin through national politics. And, of course, we'll start with the signing on Friday of the Republicans' signature accomplishment for 2017 and the Trump administration's signature accomplishment, a revamping of the federal tax code. Trump said he decided to sign it Friday because the TV networks were questioning whether he would really sign it by Christmas. Now remember, he says he doesn't watch TV news, but here's the president.
I consider this very much a bill for the middle class and a bill for jobs. And jobs are produced through companies and corporations, and you see that happening. Corporations are literally going wild over this. I think even beyond my expectations, so far beyond my expectations. So I'll sign this today rather than having a very big formal ceremony in 2 weeks when we were going to do it, because I didn't want you folks to say that I wasn't keeping my promise. I am keeping my promise. I'm signing it before Christmas. I said that the bill would be on my desk before Christmas, and you are holding me literally to that. So we did a rush job today. It's not fancy, but it's the Oval Office. It's the great Oval Office.
It's the great Oval Office. Democrats in Washington, understandably upset, saying the real benefits of the tax bill are the rich and special interests. Here's Ohio's Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown on the Senate floor.
You know what happened down this hall? You know what happened? Wall Street lobbyist after Wall Street lobbyist walked in that door and out that door. Tobacco lobbyist after tobacco lobbyist walked in that door and out that door. Oil company lobbyist after oil company lobbyist walked in that door and out that door. Drug company lobbyists from all over the country walked in that door and out that door. Now, they walked in that door. They didn't literally carry bags of money out that door after they made their points and made their pitch. But they carried provisions in the tax bill that will make their employers bags of money. As I said, they didn't carry bags of money themselves. That would be uncouth. But they sure wrote provisions in this tax bill that provide bags of money for their company.
But the president, at a celebratory ceremony after the bill's passage with Republicans at the White House, President Trump says the new law will help virtually everyone.
So we're going to see something that's going to be very special. We're bringing the entrepreneur back into this country. We're getting rid of all the knots and all the ties, and we're going to see. You're going to see what happens. And ultimately, what does it mean? It means jobs, 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 jobs. So it's going to be really a very special period of time. We're in a very special period of time, and it's going to be even more so.
Now, this being Christmas time, opponents of the measure found interesting and creative ways to try to get their message across. Rhode Island Democratic Congressman David Cislane even got some inspiration from Dr. Seuss.
Every middle-class family wanted tax cuts a lot, but the Grinch, who lived in a big white house, did not. The Grinch hated middle-class tax cuts. He wanted the whole tax code uneven. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head was screwed on a bit wrong. It could be his ties were 2 inches too long. But I think that the most likely reason of all was his heart or his hands were 2 sizes too small. Whatever the reason, his heart or his ties, he stood on Christmas Eve planning workers' demise, staring out from his office with a sour, grinchy frown at the workers' warm-lighted windows below in their town. Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here, he said from his office with a terrible sneer. Why, for 71 years I've put up with it now, I must stop these middle-class tax cuts, but how?
That's Rhode Island's Democratic Representative David Cislane, and a little assistance from Dr. Seuss. Now, I've got this special clip from some friends of mine. I mentioned my friend Jeff Hughes, and then there's Sarah Scully, who's here, and she is a producer at Morning Joe, and she, with editor Dan Hollis, put together a holiday special holiday greeting from Donald Trump.
Bing, 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 bong, bing, 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 bong, bing, 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 bong, bing, 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 bong, 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 bong. Merry, 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 merry Christmas, give you a giant tax card of Christmas. Bing, 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 bong, bing, 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 bong, bing, 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 bong, bing, 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 boom, right under the toilet.
And that is a Merry Christmas from the Morning Joe crew on MSNBC. Many thanks to them. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's The Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. It's Sunday, Christmas Eve. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Kind of a tradition we have with the show is playing the Illinois Ripcords special Christmas songs. This is from the 2011 edition of the Illinois Ripcords, and that was back when my daughter was a member of the Illinois Ripcords.
Any idea where they got the name?
Well, you know,
it's a clever name.
Well, it is, and there was a rock group, rock and roll group.
Yes.
But, you know, but all these a cappella groups in colleges, and they kind of try to play off things like chords and those kinds of things for their names. And they are the preeminent women's a cappella group at the University of Illinois. And so always like to give them a shout-out.
It's always good to hear them, too, this time.
Well, rather than giving them a shout-out, it's more fun just to
listen
to
them. Giving them a play.
It. Yeah, exactly. So this is the Ripcords with Jingle Bells.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Day or two ago, the story I must tell. I went out on the snow, and on my back I fell. A gent was riding by in a one-horse open sleigh. He left at me as I there laid and quickly drove away. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Now the ground is white, go it while you're young. Take the girls along and sing this sleighing song. Just bet a bobtail bay to 40 as his speed. Hitch it to an open sleigh, crack he'll take the lead. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
That's the Illinois Ripcords edition of Jingle Bells, and I like that. How about some Santa Baby?
Santa Baby, just let the table under the tree for me. Hello, good girl, Santa Baby.
So hurry down the chimney tonight. Oh, yeah.
Santa Baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. However, for you, dear Santa Baby,
so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellows that I haven't kissed. Next year, I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa Baby, I want it out, and really that's not a lie. Been an angel all year, Santa Baby,
so hurry down the chimney tonight. Oh yeah,
Santa Baby, one little thing I really do need in the deed. To a platinum mine, Santa Baby,
so hurry down the chimney tonight. Oh, yeah,
Santa Cutie, fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa Cutie,
so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Come and trim the Christmas tree with some decorations, but antiphony. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa Baby, forgot to mention one little thing about me. chimney tonight. Hurry, Santa, just hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry up, Santa, just hurry tonight.
We're playing some of the great Christmas songs from the 2011 edition of the Illinois Ripcords as we all try to get into the Christmas spirit before we start talking a little bit of politics later on in the show with Brian Bernardoni from the Illinois Association of Realtors, Chicago Association of Realtors, National Association of Realtors, and Eric Elk, Director of Strategic Planning, Communications, and Lobbying for Fulcrum Illinois, a subsidiary of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Let's have a little bit of Carol of the Bells.
That is the song with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they flow, praising the song, holidays, holidays, giving the ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, merry, 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 is the song. Merry, 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 Christmas. On and they sang, on with the land, there drove the tone to every home. Hark on the bells, with silver bells, all seem to say, frog is away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, big in the pot, ding dong ding dong, that is the song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of the cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, honey, fog, raising the song, holiday, jolly return, gaily the ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, ding dong ding, merry, merry Christmas, ding dong ding, merry, merry Christmas. On and they sound, on with the land, their joyful tone to every home.
A little bit of seasonal music here is, you're probably joining me in doing some last-minute gift wrapping this morning, or maybe putting together those projects that require some assembly required and wondering where the darn instruction book got misplaced. Maybe that's really all I want for Christmas.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. One thing I need, I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I don't need to hang my stocking there upon the fireplace. Santa Claus will make me happy with a toy on Christmas Day. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. This Christmas, I won't even wish for snow. I'm just gonna keep on waiting underneath the mistletoe. I won't make a list and send it to the North Pole for Saint Nick. I won't give a day I'm waiting to hear those magic reindeer click. 'Cause I just want you here tonight. I don't want a lot This is all I'm asking for. I just wanna see my baby standing right outside the door. Oh, I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for Christmas.
Listening to some of the holiday hits, courtesy of the 2011 edition of the University of Illinois' Rip Chords. I'm Rick Pearson. This is a special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin on this Christmas Eve 2017 here in Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Treetime decorated Allstate Showcase Studio in North Michigan Avenue in Tribune Tower, and trying to ease our way through what's been a bumpy political ride this year, and also try to get into the holiday spirit a little bit, playing some songs from the 2011 edition of the University of Illinois' preeminent women's a cappella group, the Rip Chords, and about some Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Ding dong, merrily on high, oh, hear the bells are ringing. Ding dong, merrily the sky, oh, hear the people singing. Oh, hear the bells are ringing. Pray ye dutifully prime your bells in chimey ringers. May ye beautifully rhyme your beats and songy singers. Oh, hear the bells are ringing.
That's the University of Illinois Rip Chords from 2011. Next up, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas. I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas.
Oh,
University of Illinois Ripcords from 2011, and that last song was a special featured soloist that was eldest daughter Amanda. I'll be home for Christmas, and I'll be home for Christmas. We're going to play a few more selections from the Ripcords Christmas CD. Next up, let's deck the halls.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. See the blazing Yule before us, fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure, fa la 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 la. While I tell of Yule's I treasure, fa la 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 la. Fast away the old year passes, fa la 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 la. Hail the new ye lads and lasses, fa la 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 la. Sing we joyous all together, fa la 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 la. Heedless of the wind and weather, fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la.
Let's deck the halls from the Illinois Ripcords. One last feature from their 2011 Christmas CD, O Holy Night.
Shining, this is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices till yonder breaks a new and glorious world.
CD. A cappella music is, you know, we all know Straight No Chaser and all of that, but something special with college and, you know, the program there. And I know Amanda had a great time during her time there with the Rippies, as they were knew each other, the Ripcords. Up ahead on the Sunday Spin, we're going to be speaking to two good friends of mine, along with some classic Christmas music as well. We're going to speak with Brian Bernadoni. He's the Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors. And we'll also be speaking with my good friend Eric Elk. He's the Director of Strategic Planning, Communications, and Lobbying for Fulcrum, Illinois. I want to see how that fits on a business card. As I assume there's also the asterisk that says a subsidiary of the Illinois Manufacturers Association with that. So we're going to talk a little bit about, one, obviously, the federal tax bill, the personal as well as political implications that are involved in that. We're also going to talk about elections ahead next year. But we'll also keep it light with some Christmas music. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Sunday Spin, Christmas Eve edition.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to this very special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, decorated very nice by Tree Time. And joining me here in studio is Brian Bernadoni, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors, and Eric Elk, Director of Strategic Planning, Communication, and Lobbying for Fulcrum, Illinois, former Chief of Staff to former U.S. Senator Mark Kirk. Gentlemen, thank you very much. But for coming in on this Christmas Eve morning, we've got some politics to talk about. We've got the tax bill to talk about. But I'd rather talk about Nat King Cole.
God bless you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
The great Nat King Cole. And welcome both married gentlemen here into the Allstate Showcase studio this morning. Thank you so much.
Ho, ho, ho.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And a Merry Christmas. Let's start with the tax bill, the new tax law, as we should say.
Well, that's kind of a rough start to go into things. Let's go right into tax.
Well.
I guess that's why we're here, but it's... After Nat King Cole, it's kind of a hard segue to go right into, you know, could you start us off with, I don't know, health care or something first?
why ease into it? Let's just go.
Go right in.
Well, you know, I think, and, you know, Brian, you've been on the show before, I think a lot of people don't really understand the consequences as a Chicago area taxpayer with the limits now on state and local tax deduction. Last time we talked, the mortgage interest deduction was vastly lower. Now it's up to $750,000.
Down to $750,000.
You're down to $750,000. Really, you're right.
Well, $250,000 makes a big difference.
Well, it's up from what it was before, sure. And at one point
it was vaporized.
It was gone.
Vaporized.
But when you look at the loss of the state and local tax deduction versus a doubling of the standard deduction,
I'm still not sure that you get a wash at least in on many properties here in the Chicago area, particularly when it comes to high property tax areas.
So this is really still a zip code to zip code kind of issue. I mean, there's some good news. I think a lot of folks are thinking that the Democrats are just going to trash this thing across the board locally, that they're going to look at this as an apocalyptic thing, and it isn't if you live in the city of Chicago. In fact, if you bought a house at the median price in the city of Chicago, which is about $260,000, 85% of the transactions that took place last year are going to be held harmless, both on the combination of the MID and the state and local tax
MID.
Deduction. Mortgage interest deduction and the state and local tax deduction. You should be able to write off all of your property your property taxes at that cost, and depending on your income, you'd be able to write off most, if not all, of your income on the state income tax. That said, once you start getting into the suburbs, it gets a little trickier. You start going into communities like Park Forest, which have a very high tax rate. Those people are going to feel it a lot differently than, say, people who live out by me in Hickory Hills. You get out into suburban DuPage County, then you start really looking at a bigger issue. You start looking at local school districts, which put a huge burden on the property tax base. And those folks are going to be feeling it extraordinarily. But it really comes down to your own personal math. And I think that's something I think the Democrats are going to have to play off of, and the Republicans are going to have to answer to folks who make a decent buck between $100,000 and $331,000 that own a home and have kids. Yeah, they're going to feel it a lot more than someone who isn't in that circumstance.
Well, and, Eric, I look at, here's Peter Roskam, who's head of the Tax Policy Committee of the House Ways and Means Committee, the group that writes the tax laws, and you look at that district, and you've got older sections of DuPage that are very wealthy areas. That district now includes, like, Barrington. And, I mean, there are some very high property tax areas in there. And to me, it would seem hard for him to... Yeah, he's all in on this,
right?
But it would seem hard going into a re-election campaign where you already are looking at potential wins against you.
Yeah, no, I something had to be done. I mean, when you look at so many of the other countries around the world that have been slashing their corporate rates and things like that, I think the U.S. had to take action and do something to be competitive. And I think that for companies who are parking so much of their money overseas and in other places, to incentivize them to bring that money back to the states, I think is really important. And that's one of the things I think this bill does. And I think that folks in the U.S. will benefit from that.
And ultimately, as the president said, it's jobs, jobs, jobs.
Right. I mean, the other thing is that there's so many folks who have been out opposing this, but yet, 60% didn't even know what's in it. So I think, it's really unfortunate. There are some things in there that are troubling, but I think that, in large part, in order for the country to remain competitive on the global market, they needed to do some things so that some of these corporations will start to remain competitive in the U.S. and globally.
Well, certainly, and that's always, been a major issue, especially the repatriation issue.
Right.
Has been a significant issue. And I obviously this is going to be one of those things where it's just going to have to play out, I think, as people get the tax time.
Well, the interesting thing, I think, is going to be this is kind of the first salvo of tax reform on the international level. And you've got two ISU guys talking about this stuff right now, which is great for Illinois State. There's one.
Go Redbirds.
Go Redbirds. Pride on this one, but the fact of the matter is that other countries are going to start looking at their tax rates as well. So now that we've done a massive adjustment to our tax rate, capturing repatriated dollars is great, but that assumes that no one else is going to change their tax rates to make it more lucrative for them to keep the money exactly where it's at.
Right.
So I think we're going to start seeing what the international markets react to this, and I think that's going to be the shift. You know, again, this is a first salvo on this thing. The other thing I think folks need to take a look at on this thing, and I think Eric would agree with me on it, is I think the words tax avoidance is going to be a real big thing over the next few years as accountants start taking a look at not the loopholes that have been plugged, but the new loopholes that have been created as a result of this. We're going to see a real shift in how people, for example, buy homes or buy, I think, manufacturing equipment, stuff like that. Eric's industry is going to be hit by the fact that the 1031 exchange, which is, you know, a like-kind exchange, those in real estate and those who exchange farm equipment, for example, would know what a 1031 is. Now it's just real property. So I think there's some interesting changes that are going to still ripple out. So I don't think the tax discussion is done. I think it's just trying to figure out what the mechanics and rulemaking turn out to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things to what you're saying there. According to the Tax Policy Center, 91% of middle-income filers will get a tax cut averaging close to $1,100. That's real money to a lot of families. Secondly, anytime they do a big tax package like this, you know, there's not necessarily new income or new revenue. I mean, they're just finding ways to shift things around. They're robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, and adjusting things that maybe in the past tax packages are now outdated and trying to update those things.
One of the things I think is going to be real important for those that cover this story, I think those of us who represent large groups are going to have the same burden, which is going to be indexing this thing, making sure that we're looking at key indicators that indicate if the tax bill is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. For example, if wages, non-farm wages, go up, well, that would mean that the president was right and that wages, that the trickle-down is going to actually do what it's supposed to do. And if it does that over a sustained period of time and the economy continues to churn at pace, then every Democrat has been wrong. If the money that is being yielded by this tax savings, which will start popping up in February, starts emerging and starts turning into consumer confidence, then you've got something else for the president and the Republicans to say, we were wrong, you were right, or, you know, we were right, you were wrong. So I think there's other things that are going to have to be quantified other than just the debate points and the rhetoric. There's going to have to be hard economic numbers.
You're listening to Brian Bernadoni from the Chicago Association of Realtors and Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson on this special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin on WGN. Good Christmas Eve Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune. We're continuing our discussion with Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois, and Brian Bernadoni from the Chicago Association of Realtors. But time for a little bit of a musical interlude. Here's Aretha Franklin. Oh, played Aretha Franklin, Oh Holy Night. You go from that lovely music, and then we have to talk reality for a little bit, right?
Why?
From rejoice to taxes, right? It's the only things certain in life, as they say, right? We've got a call from Ron. Ron, Merry Christmas, and welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Merry Christmas, Rick, to you and your guests. A wonderful show, as usual. My question to you guys is, was this tax cut really necessary? If we look at the projection that they're saying from 10 years from now to $1.5 trillion, and then the second part of my question is, if we believe that the unemployment rate is looking anywhere between 5%, lowest in 17 years, how much more job growth are you going to get out of the tax cut? And lastly, if we're talking about wages had been stagnant, and typically when the unemployment rate is this low to attract workers, wages have increased. It has not happened. So I'm like anybody else. I look for a tax cut, but I think in the long run, it was just unnecessary, and we're going to pay for it. Thanks, guys, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Ron. Brian?
I think that's a great question. Thank you, Ron, and Merry Christmas to you. I think the interesting thing that you asked really three questions in there, and I'm going to kind of go after the wage unemployment rate thing, and then I'll look to Eric on the necessity of it. But when you look at the unemployment rate, we're pretty much at full employment is what most economists would say right now. It's a little higher here in Chicago and Illinois than anywhere else, but it's still you're almost at full employment right now. What you're hoping for out of this tax bill, again, and I mentioned it earlier, you want to see that non-farm wages are going up, and that index, if that goes up, it's a good sign. But you have to remember, as we look at this issue, that there's going to be a window of time. So if companies are starting to benefit from these tax cuts, the whole idea behind the tax bill was to encourage them to reinvest in building factories and doing jobs. So you can't just pop up with a factory the next day and do this. So you're going to be looking at which parts of the country are showing increases in factory development or large industrial development, and where those jobs are at is going to be is equal part of actually jobs being created. What one concern I think that Eric and I both share is the issue of, are jobs going to come to Illinois as a result of tax reform, or are jobs not going to come to Illinois as a matter of tax reform? And I think that's a question yet to be answered, but there's a window of time that has to go into this thing. It could be 2 or 3 years before you see the real results of factory and job creation as a result of this tax bill.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Brian. One thing I'd point out real quick is the statement, Rick, I'd like to just give to you. It's, our current corporate tax system is outdated, unfair, inefficient, provides tax breaks for moving jobs and profits overseas, hits companies that choose to stay in America with one of the highest tax rates in the world. It is unnecessarily complicated, forces America's small businesses to spend countless hours and dollars filing their taxes. It's not right, needs to change. That was President Barack Obama, February 2012. He had a proposal to cut rates to 28%. Tim Geithner supported it. Ms. Pelosi supported it, and so did Chuck Schumer. And so maybe this bill, you know, maybe it cuts rates too far. Some would say it doesn't go far enough, but clearly, at certain points, everyone has agreed we needed to address this.
A thing I would add to that is, and the president has currently said that this is going to be rocket fuel to the economy. And if I were an aide to the president, I'm not sure I would have used that phrase. I think
Sure. Anytime
you're dealing with any kind of taxes, you've got to have, again, an understanding of the window of time before things actually change. So I think a big challenge for the Republicans going into the election cycle is going to be, how do we maintain a push for what a great plan, quote unquote, this is, while at the same time making sure that people don't have expectations that are higher than they really should be. Using rhetoric like rocket fuel is probably not right. This is going to be a steady glide, I think, for most Americans. For corporate, they're not going to really show their windfall until their quarterly taxes, and then we'll see what that actually looks like from there.
Very quickly, we on the text line, we have someone asking if there's any good comprehensive websites to visit to determine how the new tax law will affect individuals and couples.
So one of them that I would go to is the committee. It's ways.house.gov/tax reform.
Is that the bill?
Yeah, so it's got a summary.
You can't read the bill. I mean,
you've got a summary there, and you can get the bill. Okay. I mean, that was the committee that reported it out.
Well, Eric's a really smart guy, and he went to Illinois State like I did, and he's one of those guys who reads bills and like I do, and you know we enjoy that kind of stuff. But I think what the listeners
talking about easily decipherable.
Yeah, no, what the listener's looking for is the tax calculator, and the one that I like is MarketWatch.com. It breaks down into state. You know, the one thing I always advise people, though, on this thing is make sure you have last year's taxes in front of you when you do this so you have an idea of what your property tax burden and things look like. There are going to be some tax calculators out there that just ask you what state you're in, and that's not going to really cover to the extent that you need to. And again, because Illinois is one of those high tax states, those numbers are oftentimes lower than they really need to be.
We're speaking with Brian Bernadoni from the Chicago Association of Realtors and Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to this special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. A couple of items in the news this morning. The Los Angeles Police Department confirms that someone sent in a holiday gift wrap bag to U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. They sent to him gift wrapped horse manure. So that might be a suggestion of somebody's thoughts on changing the tax code. Also, the president this morning, FBI's Andrew McCabe, that's the deputy director of the FBI, in addition to his wife getting all of this money from M. Clinton Puppet, he was using allegedly his FBI official email account to promote her campaign. You obviously cannot do this. These were the people who were investigating Hillary Clinton. There's your Christmas Eve thoughts from President Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. So why don't we just lighten things down just a little bit, and here's Bing Crosby.
Oh, come on, you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come let us adore him.
Crosby, and I should mention that I was just out on the Storm Center patio, and we have the snow arriving in downtown Chicago.
Will have a white Christmas.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Apparently so. Thank you for that great observation, Eric Elk.
Wow, the glasses are really working now, man.
That's great. Oh, man. A couple of things on the tax law. We had a caller ask about why is the tax law permanent?
It's permanent for corporate. It's not permanent for everyone else. But the understanding is that Congress will vote to continue this on afterwards. At least that's the way it feels right now. Now, when you start going into election cycles and Democratic Congress and all those things, but the tacit agreement is that this would continue. The only reason why they did not make it permanent across the board is because you couldn't do budget reconciliation without that.
Correct.
So that means you needed to keep the budget in balance, and if it made it permanent, it would throw the deficit even deeper into trouble.
Wow,
that was a pretty good answer.
No, it's, yeah, actually more to the point. Yeah. It was concise for me, Brian. So no, but
wait a minute.
Okay, now But as we began this discussion, we talked about state and local taxes. And Governor Rauner was at the editorial board here at the Tribune last week. And afterwards, I asked him about his reticence to talk about this tax bill. Because high-tax states in New York, California, New Jersey, they're all getting mentioned. No one mentions Illinois, and I don't know why, except we're in the middle of the country, I guess. But I asked him if his reticence to talk about this was because of his fundamental belief that if Washington acts to limit the deductibility factor, is that viewed somehow politically as a way to reach his agenda items of things like freezing or lowering property taxes, of wanting to roll back the state income tax increase, those kinds of things? When I asked him that, he really didn't respond. Then a day later said, well, yeah, it follows my agenda. So does something like those changes in Washington really influence anybody in Springfield or at the local level? There you go. Here, here, I guess here. The answer is no.
No, it does. Of course it does.
It has
so,
to.
So here, if you change something, the tax system is not in and of itself one thing. It has tentacles. It affects everything. So will this change how Springfield looks at things? It has an opportunity to do that. Where I think the impact is really made is on the property tax issue,
yes.
And that comes down to really two groups that people usually don't really care about and no one really votes for that are a big chunk of your property taxes, which is your local school boards and also township government outside of Cook. I mean, those two
what
entities.
What about your assessor?
Well, your assessor, let's not mix everything in this thing.
Well, right, I'm off getting the into another tentacle.
No, we can go right. We can go right into it. But here, let's close the door on this one. Your highest part of your property tax is still your school boards, and I think those are the folks that are going to be really finding out what politics is all about at the local level once they are up for re-election.
They continue to go up, and it's just getting more and more outrageous. I mean, it's almost pricing some people out of their homes in the suburbs.
You know, you mentioned the assessor. You know, we're pummeling Joe right now.
Joe Berrios, the assessor, Cook County assessor.
The assessor's getting pummeled right now. But the one thing that I think we all need to keep in mind on this thing is there's people, you know, demanding and wanting change. What kind of change are we talking about? Do we want everyone to be assessed at 33 and a third in Cook? I mean, let's hear what the real options are out there. I think the assessor is being pretty straightforward about saying there's a commission out there that's going to review what this thing looks like, and he's willing to make changes. That's actually a pretty good thing. Now, in the past, we've had assessors, look, you go before, you had Houlihan before Berrios. Before Houlihan, you had you know, you kind of forget these things after a while. But here, we've had the system in place for a long time. This is not Joe Berrios' system. This has been the system for a long time. Joe happens to be the guy holding the bag right now. But until there is a true idea of what this new reform looks like and what those tentacles look like.
But I think part of this
it's a big thing.
I think part of this issue is the fact that, indeed, they were looking at models before and had said they were changing the system and then disregarded the models that they came up with, and no one knows that if there is a system. And the only system they know is the belief that the big guys downtown are getting the breaks and I'm not getting anything on my property.
There's no doubt that there needs to be a fix in this thing. There's no doubt. The struggle is going to be if you change one part of the tax system, and this federal tax reform only tweaks that whole proposition even more. If you change one part of the tax system, it has a glaring effect on other parts of the system. And a lot of people need to be brought to the table. I can tell you, and I'm going to put the official realtor hat on this one, we have advocated with the assessor and the Board of Review and others to put together the tax, to bring back the tax policy forum, bring back a group of folks that are who are the impacted folks in this thing, put us in one room to kind of lay out all the issues one more time and see where these reform models actually work and what will be the best, not only in lowering taxes,
for residential. But let's talk about the elephant in the room. Why are businesses leaving Chicago? Why are businesses leaving Illinois? You cannot create a property tax system that is so regressive that you end up marching businesses out. And again, I'll use a line I've used an awful lot. When the governor of Indiana spends more time in Illinois than he does in Indiana, it's because he's recruiting businesses and taking them out of the state.
Well, and so is Wisconsin. I mean, let's look at the one of the largest contributors to Roy Moore, a large financial contributor to a lot of the conservative races in Illinois, took his company and moved it just over the state line. I mean, what
with tax breaks provided by a Democratic governor? I'm just going to point that out. That was not Scott Walker.
Right.
That Dick Gunlein moved his...
Correct.
So going back to Joe, I want to urge some sensitivity. I think a wholesale change, which I know is the stated position of the Tribune and others, wholesale change is great, but we've got to have a very good idea, and it's got to be an idea that's not just coming from academia, but one that the whole entire business community understands.
All right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to the special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Brian Bernadoni of the Chicago Association of Realtors, Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois. But before I'm tempted to talk about any more politics, why don't we hear some of the Temptations? With Silent Night. We're done with politics for the rest of this show. We're going to be silent on politics now. I would rather talk about, in Svengoolie's honor, I'm wearing, because nothing to me says Christmas like Svengoolie.
And no one could quite wear it like you can.
Wow, that's special.
I think a Merry Christmas should go out to every year. I plug Rich throughout the year, but I do want to say Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas to the Realtors, which support the work I do, Salvation Army, which has did very, very well. I'm on the board of directors of Salvation Army Chicago. They were outside, and they did very well, thanks to WGN, my colleagues at Wrigley Field, and clearly the fans of Sven Gulli. You know, I think Chicago, at the end of the day, politics aside, we're a community, and for such a big town, you can make it a really small community if you want to. And a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all those folks.
Wow.
How
wow.
Do you spell Gulli?
Yeah, I don't know how to follow
that. Well, they had the Invisible Woman on yesterday. Did you see that one?
I did not.
No one saw her.
That's just terrible.
I did want to see Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Well, that's a great one, but it's not part of the Universal catalog. I mean, I think, you know, you got to understand, he buys the catalog, so that's not a Universal film. But I'll bring that up to him.
With the quality of it, I guarantee you it wasn't
But, you know, he's like Dean Richards. He's a Chicago icon, and you need them in this town. I think we forget how important local broadcasting is. I think, again, a prop out to WGN. You know, when they bring back family classics, that's a good thing. And I love local programming, and Sven Gulli, in my mind, is at the top of the heap of that.
Well, you mentioned the Cubs. You mentioned the Cubs.
2018 World Series champion Chicago Cubs.
Here it comes.
Oh, man, this is going to be good. They want it. We want it back.
Why do you say that?
I think, you know,
besides just your natural product.
They're making some good moves in the offseason.
Yeah, I think that the moves seem to be of a team that is happy with its core. I think they're remotivated to get what they lost, and I think they're going to be competitive in ways that we haven't seen in the last year. I think anyone who thinks that they're going to just spend tons of money to bring in a free agent and disrupt the karma they've got in that locker room are out of their mind. And I mean, the only thing that I'm looking for is what I get underneath my tree next year, which should be Bryce Harper in a Cubs uniform.
Whoa, wow. Look, I think they're hungry. They had a good taste in 16. Last year was a little rough. I think that, you know, they're hungry and they want it back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed about, you know, with Schwarber showing up at the winter meetings and basically saying, look, I want to win a gold glove, you know, and I'm going to work to do that. I think that's impressive, and it also speaks to, one, having won before, but two, still the relative youthfulness of this team, that it's so easy, and we've seen it in other places and even here in the city, where you win and then everybody's a prima donna.
Look, the combination of Tom Ricketts, who is the best owner in baseball, Theo Epstein, the best general manager, the best top official in baseball, and Joe Maddon, you put that combination together, inspired to win again, They're going to do exactly what they need to do. And by the way, Wrigley Field looks beautiful. If you haven't gone to see the park at Wrigley, the ice skating rink is out there.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's a beautiful multi-use location now. I mean, that ballpark used to be dormant for years, and now the Ricketts and Mike Lafrano and that team have all figured out how to make that a good community asset. You've got the Hotel Zachary opening up next April. That's exciting.
The Chris Gable Market that's open right now.
It's beautiful. The tree is beautiful, even with all that construction going on. So there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Cub fan. And frankly, this pains me to say it, if you're a White Sox fan, there's even more to be excited about. You still got one of the best farm teams in baseball right now. I think they're going to be incredibly competitive. The only thing they have to worry about is the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees are something else.
This conversation tells you exactly why we're not talking about the Bears.
Who?
They're
playing an 0-14 team today, and they stand a good chance to lose.
Yeah, I predict they will.
Well, they're unwatchable. I mean, but you know, the best thing, they'll never do it. But I wish Mr. Ricketts would buy the Bears, because he could inspire that change. But look, this is going to be a long, hard rebuilding time for the Bears. And you know, when the Bears are doing good, the Cubs are doing good, the White Sox are doing good, the Hawks, I mean, there's a great vibe in the city. I talked about community a few seconds ago. That gets this whole city up. It gets a charge, and you know, we need the Bears right now.
We do. I mean, those years just recently, when the Hawks would win the Cup, when the Cubs won the series, it was amazing how electric the city was. It was so much fun.
But
we need that back.
We're loyal. You can't give up on them, though.
Never.
Go Bears.
Brian Bernadoni from the Chicago Association of Realtors, Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois. Thank you so much for joining me. And, of course,
and my daughter Cece's back in the studio again. Cece, do you want to say hi to Mom real quick? Say hi.
Hi.
There. Dragged her to
and Brian, you must have done your job because I got a text. Robin from the Cubs front office says hello.
How about that?
So I guess you're invited back to the ballpark
next season. Hopefully giving tours next year. Merry Christmas, everyone.
We're taking a quick break. You're listening to a special Christmas Eve edition of the Sunday Spin on WGN. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition of the Sunday Spin. I want to thank the Illinois Ripcords, the preeminent women's a cappella group at the University of Illinois, and their music from 2011, their Christmas music. Brian Bernadoni, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy at the Chicago Association of Realtors, and Eric Elk, Director of Strategic Planning, Communications, and Lobbying for Fulcrum, Illinois. Most of all, I want to thank all of you for listening and wish you all a very special and happy Merry Christmas.